Good morning, and welcome to Mornings for the Master here on the GospelRadioNetwork.org. I am your host on this Friday morning, Preston McElyea, and I am recording today's program at the GospelRadioNetwork.org studio at the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas. And I am so thankful, as always, to be your host today. It's always a bright part of my week to be able to step into the studio, be able to record a program for you. And today, actually, is the same day that we recorded last week's program. We're still in the studio. We just took a short break. But that being said, I've got the same guest here in the studio with me, Brother Weston Moses.
Good morning, man. Super glad to be here and just be able to share the word and especially get your input, brother, because I always respect your input as a sound brother, but also a sound preacher.
Well, I'm thankful for you, brother, and your good heart and desire to learn and to grow and to study God's word more. In case you weren't able to listen to last week's program that Brother Wes was here, again, that program we recorded about 5 minutes ago now. Brother Wes is about to be moving down to Austin. In fact, by the time this program airs, he already will be in his new apartment, and he will already have begun his studies at the Southwest School of Bible Studies there in Austin, Texas. And we're thankful for Wes and his desire to go down and to take the next 2 years of his life and to dedicate himself to the study of God's Word.
Absolutely, man. I'm so excited because, you know, what, I mean, is a better way to ultimately use your time but also put work into anything but the Word of God?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, God has blessed each of us with different talents, different abilities, and each of us have a different role that we can play within the kingdom of God. But certainly, Wes, you've got the ability, you've got the talent, and you also understand the responsibility that comes along with that.
Yes, sir.
And that says a lot about you, brother.
Thank you.
And so on today's program, we're going to do just like we did on the last program that Wes was here with us, where he has a lesson that he has prepared that he's presented elsewhere before being here on the radio. And so just for the sake of time, to be able to spend a little more time with Wes, I guess maybe a little bit of a selfish reason here for me in the studio, but also I knew it would benefit each of you. I've asked Wes to bring those lessons with him so that he can record some of them here on the GospelRadioNetwork.org so that you also can benefit from his studies and that I can benefit from them as well. And so from time to time, Wes has kind of asked me to step in, and so that way we can still have a little bit of a conversation.
Yes.
But I'm doing my best to you know, just let Wes take the reins here. And that's, I say I'm doing my best. That's an easy thing for me to do. I'm very much a passive learner, and so for me in Bible classes, it's not uncommon that I'll sit there without saying anything. You know, I'll have comments or questions in my head, and I'll usually make those after the fact. Yeah. But I'm very much a passive learner, and so it does take something for me to be able to stop you when you get going, because I just appreciate you know, your flow of thought and everything else, and I don't like interrupting that. But
hey, that's all right. And honestly, those comments and those questions will be good today, because the topic that I have here now is actually a Bible class that I did over at the Saltillo Church of Christ a couple weeks ago, actually. But I went through the first Psalms, and it was a great study, a great class. The congregation of over in Saltillo is a great congregation, and they had a lot of good feedback and a lot of good interaction in that psalm. But as we see Psalms 1, really it's the preface psalm. It sets the principle for not only the Psalms, but ultimately the Bible as a whole, I think. You know, its desire to direct a man in the way of blessedness and true happiness, and to warn him of the corrupt destruction of the ungodly. You know, we see Psalms 1, you know, it can really be titled as the contrast between two men, you know, a godly man versus a wicked man. And so, you know, we'll just go ahead and jump right into it. So on this one, I actually liked to translate some of the words back to the original language, which was Hebrew, and then kind of define off of that to get a better understanding of it. So we see in Psalms 1, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." Now, the first word here, that blessed, you know, it's a different blessed than we see in the Beatitudes or in Matthew or, you know, elsewhere in the Bible. This word blessed in Hebrew is actually a share, which whenever it's translated back, it means happy. So, you know, it's kind of started out like, happy is the man who walks not, who stands, nor sits, you know. And ultimately, you know, it's that's where we should find true happiness, is not being like these people listed. And, you know, we see the different commitments being made here, walking, standing, and sitting. You know, this shows the progression of sin or the progression through our lives of those who yield to that sin.
Yeah, and you know, you talk about that blessed is the man, and emphasizing how that's really saying happy is the man. So many people are looking for happiness, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's something that everybody is searching for, is true happiness. You know, we all, whether we're in Christ Jesus or not, we all to an extent understand what happiness is like. We've experienced that fleeting happiness from time to time. But the only way we can have that true happiness is to do like this man here in Psalm 1.
Yes.
To follow these actions that are here. You know, you mentioned about how he walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't stand in the path of sinners. He does not sit in the seat of the scornful. And of course, it goes on and gives us more about him. But it's by following these things that we can find that true happiness that we are
Absolutely.
All searching for.
Absolutely. And especially in, you know, in today's day and age, like in the world, there's so much going on that, you know, if you really get into it and everything, you can find that despair, or find that, you know, just where it makes you uncomfortable in today's society. And so everybody, like you said, is looking for that true happiness. And, you know, like exactly what you said, I couldn't agree more on that happiness being found in the Word of God. But, you know, whenever we get into those commitments that we were talking about, the walking, the standing, the sitting, you know, first we see that we walk with the ungodly. And the Hebrew here for walk is actually Risham. I think that's how you pronounce it. This man, Risham, is a man who is unjust. He does not necessarily participate in sin, but he doesn't participate in righteousness. But he is wrong so in doing, because he refuses to do what is right in the sight of the Lord.
Yeah, so kind of, you know, if I understand what you're saying there, just the idea that he may, you know, this may not be the guy that is right there in the middle involved in the wicked activity, but he's also not the guy who's saying, you know, hey, we shouldn't be doing this,
mm-hmm.
or saying, well, if y'all are going to go do that, you know, I don't need to be a part of that. You know, he might be the guy that's, you know, just kind of staying there and driving the car for everybody else. He might be the guy that goes and says, well, you know, it's important that somebody be here just to, you know, supervise at least.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's not doing anything to go against the unwickedness. Instead, ultimately, what he's doing is kind of promoting or approving of the ungodliness.
Yep. Yeah, the go with the flow type guy. Yes. And, you know, I can you know, look back in my life and really, you know, see myself in this, you know, being that that guy that was there that didn't contribute to it but didn't take away from it. You know, he just was that go with the flow guy. But, you know, the second commitment that we see is standing with the sinner. The Hebrew word here being chatism, defined as he who misses the mark, one who does not, who does no good, but actively seeks evil to participate in. So, you know, we can actually see this guy, you know, being maybe another friend of the one who's walking with the ungodly. You know, he's probably the one that he's walking to follow him, because he is the one that, you know, he actively seeks to do against the will of God, to do that evil. Last, we see that we sit in the seat of the scornful, and sit here in Hebrew is letzium, described as one who lives in rebellion and sin, mocks religion and all who do it, and he even leads others astray. You know, so here's the guy that, I mean, he's comfortable in living in that sin. He even he's so comfortable and finds, you know, what he thinks is happiness. And he even, like, you know, tells people, like, hey, come do this with me. You know, he's that one that is sitting there in that sin, and he's, you know, criticizing those who go against him or who don't want to do what he does.
Yeah, and that's the type of thing even that's very contagious. I mean, you think about when people start to criticize, or when they start to mock others, you know, in order to try and bring them down for the good they do, it's very easy for that individual to get more people to kind of join in with them and sort of just chide in right alongside them, mm-hmm. and start to follow in with that scoffing or with that scornfulness. And so for this man who is blessed, this man who is happy, to be able to completely resist all of these things, to keep from just, you know, being there, not necessarily participating in, but just being there approving of, to keep this man from being right there in the middle of it all, standing in the way, and to keep this man from, you know, sitting down, joining in right alongside everything else, that takes a lot of work. That's not an easy thing to do. And like you've said, you know, this is a commitment to do these things, that this is not something that just happens one day overnight. You go to bed, you wake up the next day, and you never got to worry about these things again. This is something that has to continually be done in order to find that true happiness.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, it is a commitment, you know, and, you know, first we have to walk with the ungodly. You know, we have to you know, not necessarily participate in sin, but, you know, quit participating in righteousness. It's that getting comfortable in, you know, because it's easy to, and I'm guilty of it, to forget to pray before a meal or forget to pray, you know, in the mornings. And, you know, we get in that routine of, oh, it's okay, I'll miss this Sunday because I got to go to a football game, or I have, you know, I'm going to put in some overtime at work. And, you know, just getting comfortable in that, thinking that, oh, it's okay to not do this. And then we even, you know, we get so comfortable that we make that second commitment, that we seek those, or we befriend those that, you know, do evil. You know, like, yeah, what's a drink, you know, here and there? Or, you know, what's a joint or a cigarette here and there? And, you know, ultimately that just leads us farther astray. You know, but we see that, you know, it's really going against that here in Psalms 1, you know, and especially as we go down through Psalms 1, you know, in verse 2, whenever it reads that, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on it day and night. You know, I see that, and, you know, I can't fathom this enough. But it's kind of hard for my head to wrap around, because it's like I'm practicing on doing this, but, you know, day and night, you know, his delight is on the law of the Lord. So he wakes up in the morning singing a spiritual song or a hymnal or something. You know, I don't know about you, Preston, but, you know, I've woken up some mornings singing. You know, I've woke up some mornings and just immediately went into prayer. But throughout the day, you know, focusing on the Word of God, doing what's right, you know, maybe even having a Bible study with a brother or sister that is struggling, but also all the way up until your head hits that pillow that night, you're praying, you're ingesting the Word of God, you know. And ultimately, it's that work that we do need to put in as Christians to stay faithful. But also, you know, I met a brother in Christ the other day at a neighboring congregation, and I think he said that he was 86 years old, and he told me he still doesn't know probably half of what the Bible has to offer. And he has been to preaching school. He has been a preacher for probably going on 40 years. And he said that there, every time he opens the Bible and reads, there is something new that we could take from that. And I just think that's amazing.
Yeah, because, I mean, if we are working as we ought to, and again, if we're looking for that true happiness, well, this tells us exactly where that happiness is found. The only way we can be blessed, the only way we can be happy, based on here in verse 2, is by putting our joy in God's Word. That's, you know, the commitment it takes to stay away, verse 1, from all that wickedness and ungodliness. Well, it also requires us to, you know, kind of change our perspective a little bit to understand that it's in the spiritual things where we're going to be able to find that joy. That's where the delight needs to be for us. And when that is our delight, when God's Word is where we understand we can find our joy, why would we not want to stay in that place of happiness all day long?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, that is a good transition into verse 3. You know, whenever we find that happiness in meditating, you know, we find our happiness in putting that work in, we ultimately get to verse 3. For he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. You know, I don't know if any of our listeners are farmers or not, but ultimately, you don't need to be a farmer to understand that planting something takes work, whether it is a tree, whether it's your flower garden, or whether it be your crop. You know, you have to put work into it. And ultimately, I think it reads real good whenever it says planted by the rivers of water, because you have to put that work into it. Like verse 2, you know, that meditating, you're putting your will into it, you're putting your work into it. And ultimately, you plant yourself by the rivers of water, which is ultimately God and His Word.
Well, and to plant yourself implies that you're here to stay. If you are planting something here, especially like a tree, when a tree is planted in the ground, I mean, that tree is only going to take root and it's going to grow as long as, you know, we do the work to help cultivate it, give it what it needs to grow and to succeed. But once that tree reaches a certain point, it's not coming out. It's going to take a strong force to be able to move that tree away from where it needs to be. But that's how it needs to be for us. That no matter how strong a wind, no matter how strong a storm, no matter how severe a drought, no matter whatever we want to say, we're firmly planted in God's Word.
That is a very good point, Preston. And, you know, it's that planted, and like you were talking about, that growing strong and everything. And whenever it says planted by the rivers of water, you know, my grandpa, you know, I look back, and my grandpa had some cropland alongside the Caney River. And I don't know if you've ever, like, if you have land by the river or not, but if you go down by the river and those trees are probably two times the size and the, you know, just diameter and bigger than the trees that you see out here in the middle of town, you know, because it has that nutrients and everything that is provided for it by that river.
Yeah, and that's the key, is all about where it is that we are planted. I'm reminded of a passage in the New Testament in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, where when Paul was dealing with a situation of false teachers and those who kind of had a heightened knowledge and were trying to use that to pull people away, Paul said to the Christians there, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." That we need to make sure that we're planting ourselves, you know, not in the teachings of our favorite preacher, not in the teachings of one of, you know, the elders who teaches a Bible class, that we're not rooting or planting ourselves in the words of our favorite study devotional book or anything like that. That we are rooted, that we have planted ourselves in the Word of God itself.
Absolutely.
Yes, we trust that our preachers, that our Bible class teachers, that our elders, that the devotional books we may use, we trust that they're going to use God's Word. But we're always going to make sure that where we're getting our information is not from what someone has said who may be in a trusted position, but actually from what the Word of God is saying.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But as we go on through the Psalms, it's the ungodly are not so. You know, verse 4 is a really great kind of addition to what you were saying, Preston. You know, the ungodly are not so, for they are like chaff which the wind drives away. You know, harvesting with my grandpa back in Oklahoma, you know, I always like to watch as that chaff, you know, the chaff is the part of the seed that, you know, kind of breaks away and kind of is trash, or it's that dirt and stuff, you know, that ultimately, like, whenever the combine arm goes to fill up the truck, or maybe you can even be pouring a bucket into a bag, and you see all that dirt and you see all that stuff that is flying out, you know, that's the chaff. And you know, that's the stuff that it's not strong enough to withhold anything. You know, even the wind blows it away. And, you know, the ungodly, they have no roots. They're thrown around by the wind, having no stability in anything, you know, and whenever it's applied here, the chaff, you know, is to the ungodly.
Yeah, another picture that we can see of this and you know, still make application to ourselves, just in a little bit of a different type of an illustration, James gives to us in James chapter 1, and he talks about the man who does not go to God in faith when he's dealing with trials and temptations, that he's letting those things pull him away to do that which is ungodly. He says in James 1 and verse 6 that he's going to be like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. That, you know, you got that chaff over in Psalm 1, that the wind just takes it and blows it away, that there's no root to that part of the plant, that as soon as, you know, the slightest wind comes through, it's going to break off and it's going to just kind of go wherever the wind takes it. James says that man is just like, he's just like the wave of the sea, that whatever the wind takes him, that's which way he's going to go. And he may be way up one day, but the next day he may be way down. It just depends on what the wind is doing that day. And so it's something that's completely unpredictable, that there is no stability in doing that which is ungodly. And again, you know, like we talk about with that idea of happiness, there's no happiness in unpredictability.
Right, right. And it's that, you know, whenever we contrast that godly man versus the wicked man, you know, I think it is also a good point to be made, like happiness versus unhappiness, you know, being comfortable in that sin, like those men who were in verse 1, that they walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the path of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful. You know, that's not happiness. you know, they might find happiness for maybe 30 minutes, you know, or they might think they find happiness, but ultimately, you know, it won't last, or, you know, it's not the true thing. Their brain is just tricking them into thinking that, hey, this, you know, we're having a good time. Let's, you know, just ride this out for as long as it can. But ultimately, we know it won't last forever. But what does last forever is that ungodly, that blessed man, that happy man that ultimately seeks out the Lord and meditates on it day and night. You know, we see that is true happiness, that ultimately the righteous, you know, whenever God comes back and we get called into heaven, that's eternity. That will be happiness forevermore. You know, no tears in heaven. We sing that song a lot, but I think it's crucial for us to understand there won't be any tears in heaven. For, you know, being at church camp was probably my most favorite week out of the whole year, because being there with, you know, 150, 200 people in an auditorium and just singing songs, like, it sounds so beautiful. And, like, if that's just a portion of the people that are going to be in heaven, just imagine what that singing is going to be like, what that, you know, reunion is going to be like in heaven. It's going to be so happiness, you know. There won't be any pain or sorrow. But the ungodly won't get to see that, sadly.
Well, and that's another aspect that brings happiness to heaven, that it seems, you know, it can be a difficult concept for us to understand and to grasp at times. You know, with God being a loving God, well, why would he condemn anybody to the devil's hell? Well, that's because of the justice of God. Because what type of love would it be if he were to reward that blessed man who did everything that was godly, that refrained from all that was ungodly, to reward him with the same exact thing that he's going to give to everyone who lived an ungodly life all of their days? It doesn't balance out. And so it's the justice of God that's going to cause those who are ungodly to miss out on these things. But then think about it from the perspective of that blessed man. Think about it from the perspective of the one who had to deal with, going back to Psalm 1, the counsel of the ungodly, the path of the sinners, the seed of the scornful, who daily had to make that commitment not to give in to their actions, not to stand there and alongside and approve of them. For that man who spent his life doing everything opposite of those individuals, doing everything that's godly, when it comes to heaven, heaven's not just the place, you know, like you mentioned, where there's not going to be the pain and the tears, no more sorrow, no more death. Well, at the same time, we find from Revelation 21, where that passage comes from that you're referencing there, we find that there's not going to be anything immoral. There will be nothing ungodly in heaven. And that's a joy for the one who has spent his life finding happiness in God's word.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and we see that, you know, in verse 5 and 6, I kind of read these together just because I think ultimately both verses can boil down to that one point of, you know, there not being any of the injustice in heaven. You know, whenever it's talking about the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You know, God knows his people who stand in his way, who do the right thing. Likewise, he knows the ones that don't. And ultimately, it is that separation that has to be made between right and wrong. And, you know, especially standing there on the last day before God, being separated right and left. You know, it's that that rewarding of the behavior that we do. You know, just like a, you know, I have a an older brother that, you know, I really look up to. But ultimately, you know, whenever we were growing up, you know, just like brothers would, we would fight or we would do something and maybe run. Maybe my brother didn't do something that I did or I didn't do something that he did. But ultimately, if it was good, Dad rewarded that. If it was bad, then, you know, we got punished for that. And ultimately, it's like that father's love that, you know, ultimately, you know, has to deal with that, that rewarding the behavior or punishing the behavior that the Lord, will do in at the end of days, you know, for his people that stand in his way versus the ungodly who go against it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a comforting thing, but also a rather sobering and humbling thing to recognize that God is fully aware of our actions. That God is fully aware when it is we are following after him, seeking that true happiness that he offers, and doing the best that we can to stay away from all of that which is ungodly. But at the same time, God knows and is fully aware when we're giving into that which is ungodly. And because he knows that, and because he is a righteous God, and he's full of justice, well, he's going to take care of those things in the proper manner.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, also, I think it's important as us as brethren that we find happiness in that also. You know, we find happiness in a newfound brother in Christ or a newfound sister in Christ. We find pleasure and we admonish those that are doing right. You know, not only to encourage and to uplift each other, but, you know, because we understand how crucial that is as Christians. And that is one thing that I've been blessed with is, you know, ultimately, I think the greatest blessings that I have is, you know, being here today, being a growing Christian in my faith. And, you know, looking back now, I can see, you know, through this study and through other studies that unrighteousness that is in the world and, you know, that I was guilty of in the past, but through that studying and through that growing, through that meditating on it, like Psalms 1:2 says, you know, I've planted myself by the river of water. I have grown and I can see others, you know, especially in the home, doing that. And, you know, not to take away from the lesson or anything, but I'd like to take a second to kind of promote the Home of Recovery and Restoration here in Winnsboro. You know, just being there for 9 months and seeing all those men that walk in either with me or they've come a little later and that are still there, and how different of a man they are now that they have found the word that, you know, I've definitely found happiness in watching actually two of them be baptized into the church. And that is just so great. It, you know, it lifts me up seeing them lifted up. And, you know, just seeing that man that walked in that was full of sin, that was full of regret, that was unhappy, you know, find that happiness, find the word, and grow in the faith. And definitely, if any of our listeners are struggling with addiction of any kind, or if they know someone or a family member, definitely please look into the home as the home can give you those tools to grow spiritually and just grow through life.
Yeah, and if you have any more questions about that Home of Recovery, you can let us know. You can contact us at office@tgrn.org, and they'll be able to get that message back to me, and I can pass it along to Aaron, and he can connect with you and get you some more information there. But Wes, I did want to kind of piggyback a little bit on what you were saying, leading into all of that with the importance of encouraging others. and helping out that new brother or new sister in Christ to find some of that happiness, to help them see what that true happiness looks like, because it is different from what the world considers happiness to be. As we've already mentioned here, that this is happiness on a spiritual level, not so much on the physical. Because when we can find happiness spiritually, that's going to translate to our lives physically. But with that, just to talk about the strength in numbers, one of the reasons that wickedness is so appealing is because everybody else is doing it.
Yep.
I mean, that's Matthew 7:13-14. Jesus tells us more people are going to be ungodly than are going to be godly. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is that gate unto life. And so there are going to be more people, which means there's going to be a stronger pull to do those ungodly things. But happiness is in going against the grain, really.
Mm-hmm.
Happiness is in going the other direction. But it's easier to do when we can surround ourselves with the right type of people. When we're able to surround ourselves with those who are looking for and experiencing that same type of happiness, that there's nothing wicked about it. There's no ill will or ulterior motives in following after God and then staying in His Word. But when we're truly just looking for the joy and the peace and the happiness that God offers, when we surround ourselves with that same type of individual, it's going to help us grow. It's going to help strengthen us, and it's going to help us live better to that commitment we've made to being happy each and every day.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And we hope and pray for you who are listening to us today that you understand the happiness that Wes has talked about from Psalm 1, that you are able to understand what it's like to be that blessed man. But if not, you know, it's important that we consider ourselves. It's important that we consider where it is we stand, because even as Psalm 1, as it concludes, we see that this is something of eternal consequence. God knows where it is you stand. God knows whether or not you're looking for that true happiness, or if you're just following along with the majority of the world. And it's important that we go for that true happiness, that true happiness that comes from following God's Word. And if you need help with that, let us know. Even if you may not be in the local area to us here, where we're recording from, the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, we can get you in contact with somebody in your area who can help you understand what it's going to take to find that true happiness. I mentioned the email just a moment ago that you can contact us at office@tgrn.org. And again, that's office@tgrn.org. And just put there in the subject line of your email, Friday Mornings for the Master. You can put down Preston, you can put down Wes, and they'll be able to pass that on to us. And again, we'll help you figure out what needs to be done so that you can understand what it's like to be that blessed man of Psalm 1, so that you can have that happiness, so that ultimately you can receive that great reward on the Day of Judgment. And we're so thankful that you were here with us today and are able to listen to our program. Wes, do you have anything to leave our listeners with?
You know, I heard it said the other day, I forgot who from, but they said the greatest thing that somebody can do for you is prayer. And, you know, I really agree with that, you know, and I have been blessed to, I look back now and I hear about and I know of all the people that were praying for me and how tremendous it helped, you know, because prayer is powerful. It's probably the most powerful thing. And so if we can pray for you, please reach out to us. I would love to, and I'm sure Preston would too. And just continue to grow spiritually. I will do the same, and just thank you for having me, brother.
Absolutely, brother. Thank you. And again, I completely agree with Wes with what he was saying there. We think about James chapter 5 and verse 16 that It's the effective and the fervent prayer of the righteous that avail much. And so absolutely, we always love to pray for whoever we can, however we can. And again, we are just so thankful for each of you. Thankful for the time you take to listen to us here on the gospelradionetwork.org.